Everybody have a good week?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Anybody have a bad week? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He watches over us, doesn't he? Keeps an eye on what we're doing. Pays attention. Like Paul said, he pays attention to what we're doing, and he knows what we need before we even get to it, doesn't he? I've entitled our lesson today, Who Am I? As a Christian, as a godly man, as a godly woman, who are you? Where do you belong in the body of Christ? Where do you belong in the church? And we're going to look at some of those things today. And I had no idea when the Lord gave me this message how it would fit with our Sunday school lesson today, but it just did. I just loved when God... when I pay attention to what he's doing and listen to what he's saying and then bring that to you guys. And that we talked about that, Matt and I did in Sunday school this morning, how important it is that we pay attention to what God wants and not what we want, but bring a message that he wants the body of Christ to hear today. And I just almost feel like I should just sit down at his feet and just feel his love today. And you know, like you're just sitting there, and he's embracing you and loving you. And that's how I want you to feel today. That's how he wants you to feel. That he loves you, each one of you individually, especially. You are really something in the eyes of God. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. If you would, let's pray, and then we'll get into the message. Father, I thank you today that you love me. Each one of us, individually, you love. And Father, that you love us as a church, family. We're all family. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're all family. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you that you've placed us, each one, in this wonderful family that we're all different, so, Father, you meet all of our needs according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. So thank you for that, Father. Thank you for loving us enough to send your only Son as a sacrifice for our sins. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for loving me that much. Father, this morning, as you share with us your love, I just ask, Father, that each one here today will feel loved. We'll feel that special bond between the father and the child. We'll know that they are loved by you, Lord. So just have your way today, Father. Don't let me get in your way, but Father, just do what you want to do this morning. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, as I was starting out trying to figure out what God wanted, He gave me this title a couple days ago, and I thought, well, I know who I am. I'm less. Less one. Just a little carpenter. That's what I've done my whole life, almost. For 18 years, I thought I was going to be a farmer. And after we baled hay for all summer, we always baled hay all summer in the summertime. And I mean, every day, we always prayed for rain. Us boys did, because we didn't want to bale hay again tomorrow. And so we just loved when we had a rain day. And we'd get on our bicycles and we'd ride in the rain. because we didn't get to ride our bicycles when we were baling hay. We baled hay. And you don't know how tired you get of baling hay when that's what you do every day. And so we were thankful for a rain day. But I always thought I was going to be a farmer because that's what I did for 18 years. And after 18 years, Dad said, well, there's not enough work here on the little farm for all you boys. So he said, pick a trade that you like and go do that. Well, my best friend was a carpenter, and they had room on his crew for me to work there. So I was hired on by the same man that hired him and worked as a carpenter for a while. And then I learned the plumbing trade for 7 years. And then in 1979, I started our own business, and it goes from there. So God has blessed us. We've been truly thankful that He's given us a good trade, and it's been good for our family. But I don't want to talk about who I am as a carpenter today, but I want to talk about who I am. I asked the question, who am I? Because I want you to know today that as a spiritual man, or the spiritual woman, you are special to God. You mean everything to Him. And it doesn't matter what you do in life. I think I need a bigger pinch. There we go. It doesn't matter what you do in life, for your occupation, for your trade, for your business, for what you enjoy, but it matters who you are as a spiritual man or woman. And so when I began to think of that, I thought, well, I'm a Christian. That's one thing that Paul talks about in Acts, where they first called them Christians in Antioch. It's someone who follows Christ. Someone who follows Christ is a Christian. So we can all say, I'm a Christian. I'm a spiritual man, not a natural man. It took me a while to figure that out, that I'm not living for the natural man anymore, because the natural man is bound to sin, and we're not bound to sin anymore. God took that. So we're a spiritual man. We have to realize that we're beyond the natural man. Now we're a spiritual man. We're in God's eyes. We're a spiritual man in His kingdom. And I thought, well, I'm a child of God. I know there's scriptures, and we'll look at them a little later, that talk about me being His child. We're children of God. So know today that you are special, His special child. Hallelujah. I am a member of the church. You know that we've never really taken membership here, but you all feel like you're members or part of the body of Christ. As members, that's what I mean. You're a part, an important part. Doesn't matter whether you feel significant or not in the body of Christ, you are, believe me. When one part is missing, then it's hard for the body to go on, because someone else has to fill that role. And I've used this example many times. I've only got three fingers left here on this hand. When this finger was cut off, the first time I picked up a load of concrete, we always wheeled our concrete for the footers and stuff, and I picked up a load with a wheelbarrow, and I just went to take off, and I dumped it. It just went right over, because this hand didn't have enough strength without that finger to hold that side of the wheelbarrow up. The other fingers now have compensated. So when I first lost it, we always nailed everything by hand. So I'd have a handful of nails here, my hammer here. Well, they just started dribbling through this hole. There was a hole there. Couldn't keep them in there. But since then, these other fingers have closed up the hole. You don't really notice that there's not a hand there anymore. I don't lose nails anymore. But they had to make that adjustment. So when you're missing from the body of Christ, there's a hole. There's somebody else has to take up the slack when you're missing. So it's important when we all come together that you're all here, because we're all members of the same body. And so when you're missing, there's a hole. We're the bride of Christ. For his bride. He's coming back for the bride. For his bride, and we're going to see that. I'm loved. That's one of the things that's especially important, that you realize today that you are loved. That you are loved more than you can even understand. God's love is so powerful, so important in our lives, that God wants us to know just how much we are loved this morning. So we're going to start in Psalms 103 today. So let's back up a little bit from where Paul was reading there in Proverbs. Psalms 103, verses 8 through 12, talk about how much we are loved. And I want to look at those. So we're going to start with verse 8. It says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him." You think about how far that is. How far the heavens are above the earth. That's how great his love is for you. Hallelujah. "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." He doesn't even remember your sin, guys. When you confess your sin, he is faithful and forgives us from all unrighteousness. So he doesn't remember anymore. It's funny that we do remember, isn't it? We keep bringing it up because that's what we were. Well, you're not that anymore. You're now a spiritual man or woman. You're not a natural man or woman. So as far as the east is from the west, and that's indefinite. Keep going east and west, you'll just always keep going. You don't run into anything, you just keep going. So that's a long ways. Let's turn back just a couple pages to Psalm 91. I've talked about Psalm 91 a lot when I preach. This morning we're going to read part of it, because it just, again, talks about God's love and how he is our dwelling place. So I am who I am because I have my dwelling place in Jesus Christ. Verse 1, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust." Paul talked about trust this morning, didn't he? How important is that we learn to trust our Father? We learn to trust him. And then I want to go to the last verses in the chapter there. "Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name." This is talking about our love for God. A love relationship is two-sided. There's, in a love relationship, there's always at least two people. So he loves me, so I love him in return. And there's that, and I didn't look this verse up, but I remember from a child, I loved him because he first loved me, or because he first loved us. And then he goes on to say in verse 15, he says, "He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." So again, if you just want some good reading, read all of Psalms 91. I'm not going to read it all, but it's all good stuff. But he's our dwelling place. Verse 9 says, "If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." So he's looking out for us. He wants what's best for us. Now we're going to go over to Romans. A couple of different things I found in Romans chapter 8. That I am. First one says, "I am a spiritual being." Romans chapter 8. Probably should have put some markers in here, but I didn't, so I'm looking for them the same as you guys are today. 8, 9 through 11. Okay, it says, "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ." So, don't tell me that you don't want the Spirit, because that's probably the most important part of being a Christian that we have, is the Holy Spirit to guide our lives, to tell us what we need to do, where God wants us to be. Holy Spirit is the one who guides us when there's something going on that we come upon and they need a spiritual man there or a spiritual woman. He's the one that tells us how to get involved in those kind of things. So we do live by the Spirit. "But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. Yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you." So that's where we get our life from the Spirit. We're going to live forever, guys. Have an eternity with the Father. So we get our life, our spiritual being, from being a Christian. Now just back up one chapter to Romans 8. I want to look at the verses that talk about we're children of God. We're His children, sons and daughters. Let's start in verse 9 of chapter 8. Wait a minute. I just read that. Looked like I wanted to go to... Okay, I'm all right. I didn't mess up yet. Verses 13 through 17. Gotcha. Check my notes here. 13 says, "For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father, or Father, Father, Daddy, Daddy." All those terms of endearment that you have for your earthly father, they can be so much more with our Heavenly Father. That He's our Father. He loves us that much. "The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. So if we're heirs, what does that get us? He owns everything, doesn't he? He made it all. So we're co-heirs with Christ. We have so many benefits as a Christian. We don't understand what they all are, do we? Every time I read through the Word of God, I find something new that thrills me. It's amazing how you don't see it all the first time you read through it, because I've been reading through it for a lot of years now, and like I said, every time I go through it again, I underline something new. There's just always something that pops out that I didn't see before, and so it's just good to spend time in His Word. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us, let's go there now to Ephesians. Over to the right just a little bit. Tells us that we're members of God's household. This is the one that talks about us being part of the church, members of the church. Ephesians 2 verse 19 and following, 22. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. So if you're members of a household, do you all eat at different times normally? Normally, we always eat at the same time. We spend time together. We do things together as members of the same household. I'm blessed because I get to work with my family. That's been a blessing for me. Actually, since I started in business, I've always worked with family, and I love that. And I've heard somebody say that if you love your work, it's not really work. And that's kind of the way it's been for me. Sometimes I get pretty tired, so it feels like work, but it's fun. We enjoy it because we share family time together at work. Now, you don't all get to do that. But I will say, I hope you enjoy your work, because that's where we spend the most time. Let's face it, we spend 40 hours of every week or more at our jobs, unless you're part-time. Some of you are part-time workers, but full-time is a 40-hour week normally. Matt doesn't know what 40 hours is. It goes way beyond that. And sometimes we do as well. There's times when we have to stay longer to get something done, or start earlier to get something done. But if it doesn't feel like work, that's okay. I think yours probably feels like work too, doesn't it? Most of the time. Although he seems like he's always smiling, so he must enjoy what he's doing. But I would tell you to make sure that you enjoy your work. I've seen too many people go through life hating what they do their whole lives. They go to work in drudgery and come home a bear, and it's not good. So try to find something that you enjoy doing, because face it, there are all kinds of jobs out there. There's some there's no way I'd want to do them. Some of you work at something that I would not want to do. I couldn't do. And you probably would say the same thing about carpentry. You don't know anything about it. You couldn't do it. But that's what God has gifted me with. And it's been a good fun life. Now we're going to finish up today in Revelations. If you would turn to Revelations 19. Revelations 19:7 says that we're the bride of Christ. We're His bride. It says, let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory. You notice every time that we sing and sing praises to the Lord, Matt always has scriptures that talk about giving Him praise, honor and glory to the Father. That's how this verse starts. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory. So as spiritual beings, we need to learn to praise Him. We need to learn to give Him glory, to honor Him, and to uphold Him that way. It says, "For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready." I've been hearing for a long time that we're in the last days. And in fact, it says in Scripture that we're in the last days. And this was written 2,000 years ago. But I do want you to know, guys, that 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years to the Father. So the final day could come today. It could be next week. It could be 20 years from now. I'm not going to tell you that we're close because I don't know. But when you look at the signs of the times, you know that we are very close to the end times. We're close to the final days here on earth. I don't know how God's closeness is. And I'm not going to... I heard this last week that we were supposed to have 10 days of darkness. Well, that did not happen, did it? It's been light every day. And I haven't read any scripture that ever told me that. That we were going to have 10 days of darkness, that we had to do what? I don't know. Trust Him. We can walk in His presence. I hear this so much with COVID. We just have to trust the Father. I know that many of us have gotten the vaccine, and I know that many people who have the vaccine still get COVID. So what's right, what's wrong, we don't know with that, because we don't hear everything. So I'll let you guys be your own judges on that and do what you feel is best for you. But I just want you to know that today and always, you are part of the bride of Christ, because that's what the church is. The church is His bride, and He's coming back for the bride. And according to Revelation, that's going to happen pretty soon. And you know the parable about the virgins with their oil, and how they were, some of them were ready and some weren't. And that's how we have to be, is ready to meet the Father as His bride. We have to be ready to meet Him. Turn on over now to Revelation 22. I want to finish up with some of Jesus' words in the last chapter here of Revelation. And this is where it says, "Behold," in verse 12, it says, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done." I don't have to take your sins, and you don't have to take mine. Jesus took all of our sins on the cross and buried them. But I am going to get judged according to what I have done, what I have said, for every idle word, and so are you. So that's why it's so important that we walk in the ways that God has wrote out for us. That's why we have the Word of God, so we know how to walk, we know how to do and be spiritual beings and what God wants us to be. He says in verse 13, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angels to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root, the offspring of David. I am the bright and morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let him who hears say, 'Come.' Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues to described in this book. If anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. And guys, I hear so many people that will take scripture out of context and make a statement out of it. And these verses right here are so important that we don't try to just make it what we want to hear, but we take the Word of God for what it is, word for word. Don't add or subtract from it, but pay attention to what it says. There has to be somebody who wrote their own Bible for homosexuals because they think that there's nothing wrong with that. And guys, we know from the Word of God that there is. It's sin. Just as everything that we did when we were a sinful man is sin. So I don't know how they can read God's Word and come up with that. But apparently they have their own Bible so that they can rationalize that in their heads. But verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with his people. Amen. Now, there are some days when I'll come home and Patsy will tell me how she's had kind of a rough day, and she'll say, "Lord, can you come today?" And there's been days when I think the same thing. It'd be pretty cool if he'd just come on and come today. Get me out of this mess. Some days are like that. He's not going to tell us the day he's coming, guys. He says it's going to be like a thief in the night. And you've probably all seen maybe in the paper or heard somebody say that this is when the Lord's coming. Get ready because he's coming. Well, it's very plain in Scripture, and I want you. And if you've not read it, why go and read it. That he's not going to tell us what day. He said it's going to come like a thief in the night, and you don't set up and wait for a thief in the night, do you? We go ahead and go to sleep, and sleep because we can trust him. So, and then that's not necessarily going to be in the night, because it says we're going to see him come in the clouds, and you don't see the clouds very good at night, but. He's going to come. He's not going to give a big. How do I want to say it? Big. He's going to give a big shout, but he's not going to let us know ahead of time when that's going to be. I'll just put it that way. But he's coming with the shout of the archangels. We're going to know when he comes, guys. So, be ready. We're going to spend eternity with the Father. It's that kind of a love relationship. He loves you today. So if you don't feel that love, if you need us to share some time with you so that you can feel that, we're going to have a time of prayer here at the end that you can come. We'll pray for you. If anybody's here today and you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, perfect time to do that. We'd love to do that with you. To lead you in a sinner's prayer, and so that you can be assured of spending eternity with the Father, so that you can spend the rest of your life with the church and have a church family. It's awesome. So you guys come on up. The final song, the elders will be here if you have something you need prayer with or about. I come up and we'll pray for you.